The brother read this morning from Numbers 35, verse 25, through about verse 28. We are still looking, this is the second lesson, on the cities of refuge. The provision the Almighty God made for the Israelites as they took their journey from Egypt to the Promised Land. The lesson or the instruction as it relates to the city of refuge is recorded in Deuteronomy 19, Joshua 20, and of course there are many New Testament passages that at least touch on it, including Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18. In last week's lesson, we pointed out that the mercy and the justice of God, the justice of God relates to God's holiness. It relates to the fact that because God is holy, sin must be punished. That's where spring from the justice of God. The mercy of God is part of God's love and care. So here you have these two manifestations, attributes, moral attributes of God, his justice and his mercy that make provision for the city of refuge for those who were guilty of taking a life. If you're asking, was it murder, Brother Mitchell? What I didn't know last week, and I'm throwing it out now. I'm hoping that as the lesson progresses, I'll say a little more. That the Israelites who kill another person and had the privilege of shelter, refuge in the city of refuge, the city of refuge was not meant to be their permanent abode. That's very important. The city of refuge was just to give the person time to prepare himself for the day of judgment. Wait, what judgment, Brother Mitchell? The day when he would meet with the elders of the city who were usually Levites, and they would judge him to find out if they should turn him over to the avenger or revenger of blood. That is the man who would kill him. Or they should let him either remain in the city of refuge or return to his home. So when a person fled to the city of refuge, it was to give him time to prepare himself for judgment. When leaders among the Levites would meet with him, I probably will say a little more about this. There's so much to cover, but I want to that be kept in mind. So, the mercy and the justice of God, having made this provision for those who took a life, to have this as a way to give them some time to explain how that killing took place. It was all about refuge from danger, refuge from distress, refuge from calamity, and refuge from harm. I mentioned this and want to mention again. Usually the avenger of blood, the man who walked with his sword out of his shield, when he went in search of the slayer, it is pointed out, hardly sheathed his sword. It was ready to kill that slayer of another person. And it was usually a member of the dead person's family. So he went with revenge. So, brothers and sisters, the cities of refuge, as I've said last week, was typical of Jesus Christ and the church. In Jesus Christ and the church, we have refuge and security from eternal danger, eternal harm, eternal peril. I repeat, in Jesus Christ and the church Christ has built, we have refuge from eternal danger, eternal harm, eternal peril. But not only that, may I? Right now, ladies and gentlemen, we need refuge as we go through this life. Right now, as we live this life, you and I are confronted with many challenges. It can be with our health, it can be with our family, it can be with the necessities of life. The challenges by which we are surrounded each day are numerous. And they bear down on us, some of us more so than the others. And with these challenges, we need the help of the Almighty God. When the Bible says, "Oh Lord, that I know that the ways of man is not in himself, it is not man that walketh to direct his step." Wait. It doesn't mean this step. That's right. The step under consideration there is, as we live our lives and as we go through this life, we are confronted with many things and only God can guide us. So we do need refuge here and now. Wait. I have said this for years, that A true child of God can bear and go through things that the man or woman who is not a child of God can never go through successfully. I have said from this pulpit what I have noticed, that men and women, in fact, I have hardly ever read of or told of any who took their own lives because they were hungry. Have you ever noticed that? You hear men and women killing themselves. In recent time, we hear of millionaire and billionaire killing themselves. But it's never because I don't have anything to eat, so I'm going to take my life. You see, brothers and sisters, the fact remains that doesn't matter what we have in terms of material things, challenge can come to our lives that we chicken without the help of God. It matters not how much material things you have. This challenge can be so overbearing that you take that which looks like the easy way out. I repeat, a child of God can bear things and go through things that the man or woman who does not know Jesus Christ can never bear. So we do need refuge as we go through this life. We ended last week's lesson on Numbers 35 and verse 5 through verse 25 through verse 28 that was read this morning. I'm going to ask if that passage could be read again, because we are going to spend a little time on that passage. Why, Brother Mitchell? Because it speaks to us today. It is quite relevant to members of the church, men and women who consider themselves Christian. Let us hear that passage.
And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood.
May I? That is the man who by accident and or ignorance or unpremeditatedly, that is, he did not plan to kill the man, quarrel come up and things get out of hand, and he killed the man. He is the slayer under consideration here. Who shall deliver him to whom, brother? Read again.
And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood.
Mm-hmm.
And the congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge.
Remember, you know, we stand in the place of the manslayer. That's right. We are the one who need refuge. In our case, Hebrews chapter 6 verse 18 tell us that we run for refuge, and we run, that is, to Jesus Christ for refuge. Read, brother.
And he shall abide in it unto the death of the high priest.
He shall abide. Now, this is important. As I say, we plan to spend a little time here. We said a few things last week. We plan to spend a little time on this. Very important. He shall do what, brother?
And he shall abide in it. Unto the
As all of you know, abide means to stay. country people say pan. That's right. He shall abide
in it.
In, that is in the city of refuge.
Until the death of the high priest.
Until the death of the high priest.
Which was anointed with the holy oil.
That's right. Wait. Time would not allow me to go into some detail here after the high priest died and what. But may I? Have you noticed what I've noticed? Our high priest doesn't die.
Amen, amen, amen.
That's right. Our high priest, our city of refuge is Jesus Christ and the church. This man should stay in the city of refuge until the high priest die or until he's judged by the elders who were Levites. And they determine whether he should be killed or whether he should be restored to wherever he came from. You see, but you know, our high priest live forever. So that means we do not leave our city of refuge.
Yes, sir.
Read on, brother.
But if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city
Christian,
of his refuge.
Listen to this. Remember, the city of refuge today is the church. Because Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18 tell us that we run for refuge. And the only place that God has here for refuge is the body of Christ called the church. Read, brother.
But if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge.
If at any time this guilty person may not be guilty of murder, but he's guilty of taking a life. At any time he comes out of the precinct of the city. What happening, brother?
Whether he was fled and the revenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge, and the revenger of blood kill the slayer, he shall not be guilty of blood.
That is, the revenger of blood shall not be guilty, because this man who was given shelter in the city of refuge should stay there.
Because he
put it in our term, he should not backslide. Read on, brother.
Because he should have remained in the city of his refuge.
Everybody hear that? Remember, I'm going to keep reminding us, our city of refuge is the church. When you are in Christ, you are in his body, the church. The very time you are baptized to get in Christ, you get into his church. And you are expected by God to stay there as long as you live and to live a faithful, worshiping, committed life. Read on, brother.
But because he should have remained in the city of his refuge
he
until the death of the high priest.
He should remain in the city of his refuge.
But after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return into the land of his possession.
That's right. May I? Can we go on? Here we learn that the guilty was safe, secure, and had a refuge only so long as he remained or stayed in the city of refuge. This man who was given safety, shelter, security in the city of refuge, he forfeit Brother Mitchell, what did you say? He forfeited his safety and security and refuge at any time he left the city of refuge. Brothers and sisters, anytime you or I backslide, we are in grave danger. You and I, we have seen young, middle age, upper age, they backslide and they plan to come back. But they die out there and never get back. That's the Bible is dealing with that here. Don't leave the city of refuge, which is in Christ and his body. Once safety, refuge and shelter was given him in the city of refuge, he could not move or travel as he liked or go where he liked to go. He had to stay in the city of refuge. Are we all there? So are we in Jesus Christ and the church. We are in Christ and the church based on conditions. Brother Mitchell, I do not understand that. Well, just bear with me now. I'm going to make you understand. I've just made a statement that we are in Christ and the church, and that is based on condition. May I? In Christ, describe a relationship. In Christ, describe a relationship. It's not just a mechanical thing. It is talking about a relationship you have with Christ and his body. Well, it is based on conditions. And these conditions are set by Jesus Christ. For example, a man or woman doesn't just decide that I am a child of God in Christ. No, you don't do that. Jesus Christ tells you how to get in him. He tells us to believe the truth, repent of our sins, all the past. We are sorry to have offended God up to that point when we learned the truth. And when we repent and we are willing to confess faith in Christ, we get baptized to get in Jesus Christ. Mr. Mitchell, that's the way they do it at this church. No, that's the way they do it in the Bible. Because I'm not telling you something here that I work out. I'm telling you what the Bible teaches. That the only way any man gets in Jesus Christ is to be baptized in Christ. Faith does not put you in Christ. Repentance, you must repent, but it does not put you in Christ if you're an alien sinner. You must be baptized to get in Christ. Who set those conditions? The Almighty God. When was it set? Before the world was created. When will God change it? It is everlasting. As long as men and women need to get in Christ, faith, repentance, and baptism will be the condition. We are dealing with condition here. But wait, wait, wait. That is what you do to get in Christ. That is to have that relationship. But here now, there are things you have to do to remain in Christ. Wait, in the same way, I cannot just get up and say, I'm a child of God in Christ. No, people say that. People do that. But it's out of ignorance. They don't realize that God has placed his condition here for us to submit to. Well, in the same way, I don't just get up and say, I'm a child of God. Living any lives, thinking anything, speaking anything, doing what I like. No. Country people would I say, and also it won't. That's right. It doesn't work like that. So there are conditions. You know, may I? Remember, these conditions are stated in the gospel. There's a doctrine out there called impossibility of apostasy. That's a theological or sophisticated way in saying once saved, always saved. Some church teach that once you are saved, you're always saved. It doesn't matter how you live, how you conduct your life, you're always saved. It doesn't matter what you do, you can do what you do. Once you get saved, that's a dangerously false doctrine. Because the word of God teaches the very opposite. A man or woman who obeyed Jesus Christ and got saved can be lost. And some passages coming up will teach us that we can backslide. That means we are not in Christ anymore. That is, the relationship is not there anymore. That's why I meant when I said that this relationship is based on condition. Let us turn to some passages. John chapter 15. We are going to notice, I want to read about 2 to 4 passages. That's why I said I want to spend a little time so that Christian understand. And notice this conditional word. Notice this conditional word. If. Notice that word. If. Now, the brother is asked to read John chapter 15, verse 7, and I think verse 8. Let us hear it.
If ye abide in me.
What, brother?
If ye abide in me.
Uh-huh.
And my words abide in you.
Uh-huh.
Ye shall ask what ye will.
Uh-huh.
And it shall be done unto you.
Wait. Somebody didn't listen. I beg you before the brother read to notice the conditional word, if. Read again, brother.
If ye abide in me.
That means if you stay in Jesus Christ. This is not taken for granted that once you are in Christ, you must stay there. It is implying that you can get out of Christ.
Amen.
If you abide, that is if. If is a conditional word.
Amen.
If you abide in me.
And my words abide in you.
What does it mean, Brother Mitchell, for my word to abide in you? Mean your life is guided by the word of God. You live by the word of God daily. Everybody get that? Everybody get that? Huh? If the word of God teaches that worship is one of the responsibility of the Christian, you will worship God regularly and willingly. Because that's what the word teaches. If the word of God teaches that you must conduct your life in a certain Christ-like manner. That's what you strive to do daily. You see, when the Bible says, if my word abide in you, that means God's word will be the lamp unto our feet. We not just live our own any life and tell ourselves that we are children of God, because it doesn't work like that. Brother, you're not finished reading.
If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you.
Read on.
Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples.
Verse 8 relates to verse 7. And hearing means this is how you are going to bear much fruit. When you stay in Jesus Christ, this is how you are going to glorify God. You cannot glorify God when you have walked away from Jesus Christ. In a few minutes or a few seconds, I'll be pointing out, it's not what you or I think or what we say. It's what our lives and conduct demonstrate. So here is a passage telling us that this relationship in Christ is conditional. And the passage just read is pointing this out. Notice another passage found in the book of Colossians, and it is chapter 1 and verse 23. Let us hear it.
If ye continue in the faith.
May I? Brother McFarlane, you notice the if again?
Amen.
You notice the if again? If you continue in the
faith.
Wait, Brother Mitchell, what does that mean? In the teachings of Christ. And that carries the idea, if you remain faithful to the teachings of Christ, you are doing all the things that you are commanded as a Christian to do. Wait. In a few minutes, I'll be showing many Christians want to hold on to the privileges. Can you all hear me? You can hear? Two people can hear. Thank you. I'm going to share with you that too many Christians want to hold on to the privileges of being a Christian, but you know what? They abandon the responsibility. It doesn't work like that. Wait, you were at Colossians chapter
1
and verse
23.
Read again.
If ye continue in the faith.
If you continue in the faith.
Grounded and settled.
Wait, you are grounded in the faith. You are settled in the faith. Read now.
And be not moved away from the hope of the gospel.
Brother, that's a backslider.
Amen.
You get the point? It is showing you the opposite of being in the faith. You see, you move away. Another word for that is backsliding. You know, worship, you know, in a few minutes too. Brother Mitchell, you have a lot of things that in a few minutes, I don't know how in a few minutes they're going to manage it. But in a few minutes, I'm going to show that when any of us backslide, there are many sins involved. And I'll be just giving you a little in a few minutes. Many sins. Well, let us move on. So we hear this passage and notice if again, showing that being in Christ and in the faith is conditional. Let us turn to another one, Hebrews. And this is chapter 3, verse 12 through 14. Hebrews. Let us hear it. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 through 14.
Take heed.
Mm-hmm.
Brethren, mm-hmm. lest there be in any of you an evil heart mm-hmm. of unbelief mm-hmm. in departing from the living God.
Wait, do what, brother?
In departing from the living God.
Do what?
Departing from the living God.
Depart. That's another word for backsliding. You left the church. You give up Christianity. Because again, there might be young convert in the church. You cannot abandon your Christian responsibility and still tell yourself that you're a child of God. That's a contradiction. And these passages are showing that. There's a point at which the Almighty God consider you as departing from the faith. Read again, my brother.
Take heed, brethren.
What it says?
Take heed,
that
brethren.
That is, be careful. It's a warning. Uh-huh.
Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief.
You see, unbelief doesn't mean you don't believe in God, you know. Sometime in the near future, I'll be preaching a lesson to show the word. Not believing or unbelief is used. It's used in reference to men and women who believe there is a God but who fail to obey the truth. So the unbelief here doesn't mean you don't believe in God. It's just that you do not believe his word strongly enough to live by it, to follow it, to let it guide your life. Read on.
In departing from the living God.
Mm-hmm.
But exhort one another daily.
Instead of departing from the faith, from Christ, from the hope, from the church, from the city of refuge, we should encourage one another
daily.
Daily. To stay put. That's verse 14.
Verse 13.
Read.
While it is called today.
While we have the opportunity. Read.
Lest any of you be hardened
uh-huh.
through the deceitfulness of sin.
May I? It's easy to just run over that word deceive. May I? The word deceitful means deceptive. And you know, word deceitful mean? It mean sin work brain on us. That mean we are sinning and we do not see it as sin. Are we all there? We are in a backsliding state and we still tell ourselves that we are Christian. Are we all there? That's Satan working, you know. It's calling the deceitfulness of sin. Sin work brain on you. It deceives you. It makes you think you are still okay when you depart from the faith, when the Almighty God knows that you are in danger. Verse 14, finish.
That was the end of verse 13. Verse 14.
Read.
For we are made partakers of Christ
mm-hmm.
if we hold the beginning of our confidence.
Wait. You see the if again, brother? You see again the conditional word? It's not just because I feel I'm in Christ, I'm there. No, there are some condition that keeps us in Christ. We are partakers of Christ. What? If
we hold the beginning of our confidence, steadfast unto the end.
Steadfast. Look now at Hebrews 10, 38 through 39. Let us hear it.
No.
Mm-hmm.
The just shall live by faith.
Uh-huh.
But if any man draw back, my soul have no pleasure in him.
Somebody didn't hear that, brother.
No.
Wait. The Bible used term like depart. Here it used the word draw back. Everybody understand that word, Christians? That is it describing the backslider, the man or woman who give up the church worship, his or her Christianity, and just living their own lives. That's a drawing back. That's a backslider. Read the passage again.
No, the just shall live by faith.
Remember, the writer is quoting from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3 through verse 4. We will not go there. Read on.
No, the just shall live by faith.
Mm-hmm.
But if any man draw back.
And the opposite of living by faith is those who draw back, those who backslide. If any man draw back,
my soul shall have no pleasure.
Everybody gets
in
that?
Him.
The Almighty God has no pleasure in those who backslide. And sometimes a backsliding brother or sister talk like them and God sleep in his bed every night. And here God is saying, when you backslide, God says he has no pleasure in you. Wait. You or I do not set the rule for how we live the Christian life. God set those rules. If I give up things like worship, may I? When we abandon the worship, may I? Among the sin we commit is we show disregard for honoring God. We rob God. The Bible says we must honor him with all our substance. We rob God. We send a wrong and a false message to both non-Christians and to believers. What you mean I sent a wrong message and a false message? Well, give me a few minutes and I'll get back to that. Read another part. Wait, you don't finish with Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 through 39. You said, Brother Mitchell, you are the one interrupting. Okay, read now, brother. Read.
But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition.
They draw back where?
Unto perdition.
When we backslide, that's the state or condition in which we are. Perdition. That's a dangerous place to be. Read on.
But of them that believe to the saving of the soul.
Everybody gets that? That's verse 39.
Yes.
May I? Too many Christians, as I've said, and too often abandon the responsibilities of being a Christian, but they still want to claim the privileges. It doesn't work like that. It is like a person who eat his cake and still want it. When you eat the cake, it no more exists. When we abandon our Christian responsibility, we are no more Christians. And those responsibilities are not made by man, they are made by God. Tie these two passages for me. Put them together. It is Hebrews chapter 10, 25, 26, and 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6, I think. Tie those two passages. Just a minute. The two passages are Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 through 26 with 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, I think it is verse 6. Tie those two passages. Let us hear this one first.
Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is.
Everybody understand that passage? Okay, may I? I'm going to ask Brother Webb to read it from the 26th translation. That mean? Sometime when I'm studying the Bible, I have to read from various translations to make sure I get the meaning. Listen now, he's going to, that same phrase, not forsaking the assembling of yourself together. Wait. May I? That passage mean, the brother going to read, but let me explain. It means, don't stay away from the assembly. That's a command. It means, don't stay away from the church when the church meets. That is a command from God. It means, don't be doing your own things at yard, at work, when you should be worshiping with God's people and you have control over it. Listen it now. From the different way it can be translated. Brother Webb, read.
Not forsaking the gathering of ourselves together.
That means when Christians gather together, God expects you to be there. Read again from another.
Not abandoning our common assembly.
Don't abandon the common assembly. That's a second rendering. Give me a third, brother.
Not neglecting our own church meeting.
That one make it plain, eh? Don't neglect the church meeting. Before the brother read one, may I just pass this on? Remember, your attitude towards a local congregation is your attitude toward Jesus Christ. Never forget that. Whatever congregation you are a member of, as a congregation where for the time being you will fellowship and work with them, the Almighty God expects you to be a part of whatever that congregation does in the interest of enhancing the cause of Christ. It's your responsibility. It's everyone's responsibility. And if you have some and Christ-like attitude towards the congregation, I don't charge you for this information, that is the attitude that God is using to judge you. Another rendering of the same passage.
Not staying away from our meetings.
Not stay away from our meeting.
And let us not hold aloof from our church meetings.
That is, you see, you cannot be a Christian in isolation. Huh? You can't, don't try. And so many people, they have the wrong attitude up here about the church and Christianity. May God help them. When you have a wrong attitude towards the local congregation, it is your attitude toward Jesus Christ. When you have a wrong attitude towards worship, you cannot in God's sight be staying home, put no importance on worship, congregational worship. Somebody say, but Brother Mitchell, we worship God at home. Private worship is different from congregational worship. The passage the brother is reading here, it's taken from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. The brother has not yet read verse 26. I'm going to just let him touch it. Wait. Take time with me, brother. Let's try verse 26.
For if we sin willfully.
Huh?
For if we sin willfully.
Brother McFarley. Verse 26. For if we sin willfully. Is taking you back to what was said in verse 25. Amen. That's why the for. Making the connection that what I'm saying here about willful sin is related to what I have just said in verse 25. That's why the far making the connection. For if we sin willfully, after that we have
received
the knowledge of the Son of God, there remaineth
no sacrifice.
No more sacrifice for sin. That has to do with neglecting the worship. And what the passage is doing is to show that when a brother or sister neglect worship, what it will ultimately lead to. It will ultimately lead to where that person can drift and drift and drift, where the person cannot find him or herself back. I wish I have time for the brother to read the rest of that. Okay? So that is this. Huh? Hebrews. A plain statement telling us don't stay away from worship or from the congregation or from the assembly when the church meet to worship God. Don't stay away. That is a command from Jesus Christ. We must respect what worship is about. It is about reverencing, honoring God, giving God his due. Now, notice now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses.
Now, we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Brother McFarlane. You notice it says, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means, Paul is saying, what I am commanding you, brethren, it's on the authority of Jesus Christ. What has he commanded then?
That ye withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly.
Walketh how?
Disorderly.
Walketh how?
Disorderly. And not...
Wait, take time with me now. You see the connection? This is an order. An order means a command, a directive. What is the command? Don't stay away from the worship. Now, this one tell you, when those brothers who go contrary to that, any order, what must be done, brother?
Withdraw yourselves.
You see, God take it seriously. That means any order given on God's authority, on Christ's authority, and any member, the sister might say, you see, Brother Mitchell, it says, brother, you see, we are not in, it includes all of us. All of us. When there is a plain teaching, and brothers or sister go on like it doesn't concern them, they can just do their thing. The Bible says the church need to take action. Didn't I ask you to tie those two passages? Let me see if I can wrap up now. Now, please. May I? This passage in 2 Thessalonians just read has direct meaning and bearing on worship. Direct bearing on worship. That is, keep this in mind. Regular, willing assembly worship to God is an essential part of being a true child of God. And in fellowship with God. Brother Mitchell, repeat that. Thank you for asking me. Regular worship, willing worship, assembly worship to God is an essential part of being a true child of God and in fellowship with God. Worship is a serious business to God. You didn't know? Look at Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8 through verse 10. Quick, brother, time is going. I said, worship is a serious business for God. And we don't treat worship any and any way. May I? You have Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 through 10?
Yes, brother. Will a man rob God?
Wait, may I? I have just made a statement. Get this down. That worship is a serious thing to God. Do you remember that among the first sin committed, who is that? Cain? It's the wrong worship. Are we all there? Two, a great tragedy, Nadab and Abihu, Leviticus chapter 10, 1 through 3, it's around worship. Huh? And I can just go on and on and on about worship. God takes worship to him seriously. Listen to this passage now in Malachi, last book in the Old Testament. Will a man rob God?
Yet.
Wait. Did you know that that is one of the sin that backsliders commit? Did you know, as a child of God, once God provide for us, once we earn, God expect us to give back to Christianity? When we don't do that, we sin. Wait. Watch here. The Almighty God speaking to the prophet. And he used the word. What, brother? You can't understand my crab food.
Rob.
You can't understand my crab food. Rob. Will a man rob God?
Yet. No? Yet ye have robbed me.
Yet you have robbed me. Read not.
But he say.
But the people say.
Wherein have we robbed thee?
You see, brother, I talk about the deceptiveness of sin. They were robbing God, and they are now telling God, we no rob you. We're in, tell us where we rob you. It's just that you are trying to show some Christian that man such and such is your life. Your life is in danger. You have walked away from Christ. And they can't understand it because they have been deceived by Satan. As I've said, one of the many sins that backsliders commit, apart from backsliding, is robbing God. And here you have it. Will a man rob God? Wait. What does that mean? It means that it is such a heinous sin. The mode in which that Christian is asked is like this. Will a man dare rob God? That's the concept there. And then the people, wherein have we robbed your God? Read.
In tithes and offerings.
In what?
Tithes and offerings.
Y'all hear that? Everybody hear that? Worship, giving is an act of worship. Worship is serious business for the Almighty God. Let us, as I've said, one of the many sins that backsliders commit is robbing God. Look at Acts of the Apostle, chapter 5, verse 1 following. Quick, brother, time is going. Let us hear it. Acts chapter 5, verse 1 following.
But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price.
But them have a right to keep back all of it or part of it. Not for them land. Watch here now. Read.
His wife also being privy to it.
Wife and husband, it's good to have independent man in a positive way. Because somebody going to, some of you contrary, and when you have your contrary way, you are going to say, Brother Mitchell say we must have independent mind. No, me not mean you must be contrary and devilish. No, you must be able to look on things and wait independently that you can be of help to one another. Will you stop reading for brother? Read now.
and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet.
Mm-hmm.
But Peter said,
Wait. Let me cut it short. Brothers and sisters, get this lesson. The lesson was about being sincere in whatever act of worship you engage in. Being genuine. And the Almighty God is serving an everlasting lesson to the church in what he's about to do to this wife and husband. In telling us that when it comes to worshiping God, any of the activities of worship, be sincere. They stole a piece of land. Watch, you know, what they saw, Christians were giving liberally. People sell the land and brought the money to the apostles' feet and what and what. And other Christians were praising them naturally. But what a wonderful, and it was wonderful deed. But Ananias and Sapphira, watch here now, they wanted the praise, but were not willing to make the sacrifice. So many of Christians, as I've just said, they want to hold on to the privilege of Christianity, but they abandon their responsibility. It no work like that. So the Almighty God is serving a notice that would serve the church as long as the church lives. That when it comes to worship, be sincere. Don't lie about it. Don't deceive yourself. Read now, brother.
But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land?
Mm-hmm.
While it remained, was it not thine own?
When you sold the land for $2 million, all that money was yours. Mm-hmm. The church didn't ask you to give $500,000 or 1 cent. It was yours. It was for you to determine if you are a true child of God, what you want to give. And you must give it willingly and sincerely. Read on, brother.
And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power?
When you have the land, it was yours. When it was sold, it was yours. Read on.
Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart?
Mm-hmm.
Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God.
A lot of times we must learn to look beyond church leaders. We must learn to look beyond the human element. Because in serving God, we are dealing with God. Read, brother.
And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost.
That means he died. God killed him right there.
Amen.
And you see how his wife have a positive, Christ-like, independent mind. When she came, she would just tell the truth. Huh? She come and lie same way. And she died too. What does that say? That worship is a serious thing to the Almighty God.
Amen.
Serious thing. We have seen it when Malachi said, will a man rob God? Among the sin that backsliders commit is that they show no respect and regards for the Lord's table. Do you know we are to meet around the Lord's table every Lord's day? Are we all there? The backsliders show no regard for communing with Christ. Two, giving of our material things. Bible in the book of Proverbs chapter 3 verse 9 says, we must honor the Almighty God with all our substance. The backslider keep robbing God. The backslider that is out of the church for 1 month, 2 months, 6 months, 1 year, 10 years, 20 years, you have been robbing God. That's a sin. The backslider is sending a false and wrong message to unbelievers and other Christians. Telling them, when I show disregard for worship. I'm saying to the unbelievers, worship is not that important. That's a false message. I'm saying to fellow Christians, worship is not that important. I can stay away and I'm still okay in the sight of God. That's a false message. That's why Paul in the book of Hebrews asks the Christian, the faithful Christian, not to take the bad example of those who were not attending worship. And last but not least, when we abandon worship, we fail to and we do not value fellowship. We're only going to read this passage. I'm not going to comment much, but I'm serving your notice that we are coming back with it either in a message or whatever. Let us hear it in the book of 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, fellowshipping. That the backslider also commit the sin of not valuing fellowshipping with other Christians. Let us hear it.
If we say that we have fellowship with him
mm-hmm.
and walk in darkness,
mm-hmm.
we lie
mm-hmm.
and do not the truth.
You see, we can deceive ourselves in many ways. Because what you are going to find here is men and women who think you can have fellowship with God and not have it with the church. The Bible says you are a liar. Read on, brother, verse 7 now.
But if we walk in the light,
mm-hmm.
as he is
you notice the if again? If. If we walk in the light.
As he is in the light.
That means we walk according to the teaching of the gospel. Read.
We have fellowship. One with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his
son. You notice, brother? The fellowship there in verse 7 is with one another.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
There can be no true fellowship with God when you abandon and have no regard to the fellowship with one another. Can I take another hour and preach on that now? Okay, you see another time. Thank you. Because it's time to finish anyway. So we're going to revisit that passage. That fellowshipping with God must come through fellowship with one another. And when you abandon fellowshipping with one another, you have also abandoned fellowship with God. We are talking about the city of refuge. You must stay in the church. It is our city of refuge. And you cannot have fellowship with God and be safe in Christ if you are not a faithful, worshiping, that is, worshiping willingly and actively a part of the working of the church. Right now, we are going to stand and sing a song. It is a song sung to the honor and glory of Jesus' name. But it is a song sung and giving you the opportunity that this is a right time for you to come. And if you're a backslider, to acknowledge your sin. If you are a man or woman who has never become a Christian, the Bible's way for you to come now repenting, come now confessing Christ's name, come now submitting yourself to baptism. We are here to help you, and Jesus Christ is ready to welcome you as we stand.